Did you have a question the other day about chanting at death while it's getting a bad rap?
I asked our friend Han about the customs in Burma, and I guess about when people are approaching death, having monks to chant at the bedside. And that appeals to me. That attracts me. I've often thought already, it's just thinking ahead and it's just proliferating, but if I could listen to Pali chanting when I was approaching death, I think I would like that. And I think it would be comforting and it would help to...
Who knows when will death come, so yeah, shall we chant right now?
Well...
Chant now just in case.
Or every 5 minutes we could have a bell and start chanting for a bit. Well, but still... Generally speaking, in most cases, it's known when someone's...
Speculating.
Yeah, I know.
But what does chanting do to you now?
Well, I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about
but
in a death
now,
bed.
I mean...
Next moment can be death.
Well, chanting now, when I listen to Pali, I like to listen to the Dhammapada in Pali. I listen to it again and again, and there's some a little bit of understanding of the meaning, but there's also just a kind of...
What is best to understand or to listen... To the chanting.
Understand.
Yeah.
But I mean, if I'm listening to the chanting rather than listening to something else.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Where's the attachment?
Well, there's attachment there. I still welcome that kind of attachment compared to attachment to things I was attached to before. I think it's a better attachment than being attached to...
I'd rather switch on Neil Young and listen.
Would you? Would you?
Not seeing the danger of attachment yet. Mm.
Yeah, it's
good.
The As
cause.
I said before, I'm glad that I'm listening and I can see the danger.
So there's I, who appreciate chanting.
Yeah. If chanting conditions understanding, why don't we chant more often?
Well, I didn't say it conditioned understanding. I said it was...
What is the meaning of chanting?
Just to hear it or to understand it? To understand. Well, when I leave here, I've just been wonderful listening, but when I leave, I'm going to be going back, probably, who knows, back to my old thinking. And if I listen to Dhammapada, what does it do for me? What does it do for understanding? I feel it helps to prevent harmful proliferations, and it keeps my mind in a more receptive condition.
Not absolutely.
Not absolutely, no.
It will arise again and again by conditions.
I thought you were at a stage of still trying to make out what the words mean.
Oh, I am that as well, but I just listen again and again, and the understanding of the words... I tell my students when I teach English that if they want to understand English, they should just keep listening and keep listening and keep listening. And the
meaning understanding.
With understanding. But the understanding gradually develops. Like.
But when you listen to chanting, is there any level of understanding?
Yes, I think so.
What is that?
Well, it depends. I would have to have the Dhammapada... Do I have my iPod? Was it? Sorry?
Can you cite what you have listened before?
What did you understand?
Let me think. Well, nothing comes to mind right now. But I mean, if I listen to it...
So you mean that it does not go with you all the time?
No.
You cannot find it?
No.
So it cannot help you? When it's the understanding, it's always with you, no matter where.
No, sure. Sarah brought this up. This isn't a huge thing for me, but I do enjoy listening to Dhammapada.
Understanding.
I definitely know that understanding is the way.
So it's not just listening.
No.
But I think to help it along a bit, like I think it is
very common in Buddhist countries, including Thailand, to listen to monks chanting when someone knows they're going to die. And yes, we may suddenly die now, but usually people have a bit more idea when they think they are likely to die, and they like to have monks chanting. And if they have monks chanting about doing good, avoiding harm, this is the Buddha's teaching or something, isn't this more useful than just having them lying there, saying long goodbyes to their family members and grieving about to die or something?
Without understanding, it's just long for chanting to be heard. So it's attachment again. Nothing can stop that. It's like space in between galapa. That's why it's so very difficult to eradicate it.
So there's no difference in that case between the attachment to the chanting and the long goodbyes to the family and friends.
So it depends on understanding. For those who do not understand the teachings, they just want to hear, and that is attachment. But when one can understand, sometimes it can be conditioned for understanding better, even at that time.
On the other hand, if someone said that he'd like to be able to hear the Dhamma, because even now there is interest in the Dhamma, would that also be attachment?
Depending on understanding. What for? For oneself? Or what?
Yeah. For oneself, actually.
Ajahn, may I ask if you were to visit someone who was close to death, what would you think would be a skillful thing to do?
It depends on that person. If that person can understand Dhamma at whatever level, it's kusala, with or without panya.
And so you would speak to them about Dhamma? You would,
or turn on the tape or radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they can appreciate it.
Many people turned on radio for their friends or parents or relatives.
You mean discussions of Buddhism, of the Dhamma?
It doesn't matter as long as it concerned the understanding of the teachings.
And if someone has no real interest in the Dhamma but would just like to hear the monks chanting, then you would arrange for the monks?
No?
Who knows? Attachment. I think that this is the thing that we hope to do, but actually what will happen must depend on conditions. The best thing is not talking about worldly matters.
Now I'm not trying to show that, oh yes, I do remember something, but now that you asked me to think of something, now one phrase, I probably don't pronounce it, bhavanajabalan, associate with good friends. You see, that's the kind of line. It's actually from Mangala Sutta, That's something that comes through my mind a lot, and I think having something like that that resonates is good.
Any difference if it would have been in English?
I suppose it's a pleasant sound, so I like to listen to it because it's a pleasant sound and it resonates.
You know,
yeah.
In Thailand, after they heard about Atsevanajapalanang, they had bad friends instantly.
Yeah, I mean,
with wrong view, wrong understanding. Because it doesn't come to understanding at all. It's only past and like that sound, but not understanding the meaning of it.
But again and again, when we hear it, maybe the understanding sinks
in
gradually.
So it's not the matter of hearing, it's the matter of understanding the danger of having bad friends or wrong friends. Many people can recite the Mangala Sutta, but do not follow any one of the 38 Mangala blessings. What about being able to recite the Tipitaka, but do not understand and meditate wrongly?
And of course people would just become so attached to being able to recite and take that for kusala.
They do not realize that they destroy the teachings of the Buddha, destroy the understanding of what he said about Dhamma, about realities, about panya. So it's against the teachings completely.
Just changing the topic. We were talking this morning about paripatti and also about samatha.
following along the discussion at the foundation on Saturday, and something that has been discussed since then is what is the correct practice, if you like, of samatha.
The understanding of samatha first. What is it? You like it, but do you know what is it?
Just like the idea.
Like the word or what?
Calm at the moment of kusala citta.
It's attachment, it's the panya which sees the danger of attachment. It's wrong from the very beginning. Not knowing what it is and try to have it, that which is not, right samatha. So everything begins with right understanding.
So in this case, I think you just said it's the understanding that sees the danger in attachment.
Mm-hmm. From sensuous object, which appears all day long, how much it is collected from time to time, danger or no danger. Not knowing the danger of the attachment to sensuous object, they add more danger of being attached to that they don't know. And that is not the teaching of the Buddha at all, because the teaching is all about understanding everything. Even what we call calm in daily life, from birth to death, but no understanding of that word or the reality of it at all.
So talking of calm, which is often the translation of samatha, how does that relate to understanding the danger of attachment to sensuous objects?
Because calm must be kusala. If kusala is not calm, what else is calm?
And this calm, is this the same as feeling of calmness or something quite different altogether?
No, kusala at that moment. So it is panya which know when is no akusala.
So it's nothing to do with the conventional idea of feeling calm then?
What kind of feeling is calm if it's not kusala?
Well, usually when we talk about feeling calm, it would be with attachment.
So when we talk about feeling calm, there must be calm. Otherwise, feeling what?
Pleasant feeling, attachment.
Pleasant feeling,
could
not calm.
Could in fact be pleasant feeling,
mm-hmm.
but we take it for calm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you also said earlier that feeling is difficult to know exactly. To
like
understand.
Right now, what kind of feeling is there? We just talk about feeling. Feeling arises each moment. But what feeling is it now? Only speculating.
So is a moment of kusala equivalent to getting away from sensuous objects? Or seeing
not
the danger?
Not only dana, not only sila. See?
So if it's not dana, if it's not sila, but...
It's panya which knows the characteristic of calmness away from lobha, dosa, moha.
So we're talking about the development of samatha, not right. Just samatha. And the developments of samatha...
Because without understanding that all kinds of kusala is calm, how can there be the development of more and more kusala, which is calm?
All right. So understanding what calm is...
The only way to develop calmness.
And it is related to seeing danger of attachment.
So when I said it seemed that being attached to listening to Dhammapada was a better kind of attachment, in fact it could be a more dangerous one because it's
right.
Blocking understanding. It could be if I was really attached to that practice, that habit or whatever.
That's why attachment can lead one even to Arupa Brahma world.
But that doesn't...
Because of ignorance of reality. So the result is to be born in such world. But there is still attachment to it.
And from there we can fall wherever.
We would fall.
We would fall.
I think the chanting or the meditation practice or... any particular practice, the attachment is more dangerous only because if one's taking that attachment for being kusala or for being the path or the development of samatha, then that is what blocks one from hearing the truth about dharmas, whereas ordinary attachment, like now, is not blocking the understanding.
And when does not know why one chants, what for? Because in the old days, all the disciples recited the teachings in order to have more and firm understanding of what they heard. That's the meaning of chanting, not just wanting to chant. So the purpose is different. It's not the right purpose of chanting at all.
And did that condition understanding in those who chant?
For those who know that teaching? Chanting is thinking wisely about understanding what one heard better and better. Otherwise, they can be thinking about other thing else instead of thinking and reminding. So we call it chanting. Since there's no understanding, it can be conditioned for attachment to it. And especially the result of it. The result of it is to be born in such and such place, to have kusala before death or something like that. But actually, the meaning of it is to consider what is heard. For example, atsevana japalana. It's a reminder not to associate with wrong view.
So when we read, for example, suttas about praising, memorizing, for example, what the Buddha has said, or something like this, it's only the memorizing or chanting with understanding, otherwise just...
All the teachings is about understanding. When it's not understanding, it's not the teaching of the Buddha at all. Even chanting, there must be why chanting, because it's better than thinking about other things which doesn't bring about understanding. It's not like chanting asevana japalanang and associated with wrong people or wrong idea or wrong understanding.
Which is the bahala, so we're associating with fools even while we're chanting that without understanding.
The ideas of fools.
Yes, don't understand.
This is something that people probably always ask about who don't yet understand, as I don't yet understand that people are concepts. I don't understand how there can be killing if there are no beings in reality.
Without citta, can there be anyone? Any being to be killed?
I can't yet understand. Without citta.
Can anyone kill the tree, the mountain? No use.
So what differentiates a being and a mountain, a tree, citta?
Okay. Are we killing cittas?
Can anyone kill citta and rupa? Only conditioned for life to continue on.
Life force.
So we are interfering with other life
forces. You
just
want life to end, the other's life to end up.
Out of aversion, strong aversion.
On our list, one of our friends, I remember saying that the idea of impacting others is the wrong understanding. So the idea of wanting or actually causing another's life continuity to end, isn't that wrong understanding? I can't yet understand how we can say that we don't impact others.
Can a sotapanna kill anyone?
The ability to kill or is not there anymore for sotapanna.
Because of the understanding of all namas and rupas. It's not self.
No more idea of a being.
Mm-hmm. So, and can we say also, Ajahn, that jitters arise in streams?
From one moment to another moment.
Right. So the stream of jitters that we conventionally think of as person A,
mm-hmm.
it's not the same stream as
B. Okay. See, I thought even that that idea of streams of jitters was being rejected by people.
No, it was the interpretation of those people who were putting it forward.
So what is the killing, the actual, what you call killing?
The life continuity.
Isn't it the chetana?
The next chitta does not arise.
Yes. The intention to kill. So there is that intention as the cause to bring result. Because who will die does not depend on the others, but depends on one's own karma condition to end up right then. Nothing can condition the last moment of citta at all, only karma. Because the last moment is vipaka.
I'm going to have to listen to that many times to understand. Thank you.
Karma and vipaka.
We think that we or someone kills another person, but actually what in reality brings about the death of another person?
That person's
only karma.
That person's jutti jitta is a vipaka jitta.
I see.
Of past karma.
From the karma jitta of the other.
No,
of
his own karma from the past.
Okay. I see, yeah, okay. But we have the intention to kill, and that's our own karma, which will have its own vipaka. I see, I see.
And the intention of killing will bring result.
I see. So the idea that our karma is resulting in the other person's vipaka is
the more we understand about one moment mm-hmm. is life. Just one moment of citta. Without that, there's no life. So we think that we live among people wanting to kill or to do something, but actually it's only thinking in darkness about people and things. No one at all, only the arising of citta, wholesome or unwholesome, depending on conditions.